This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hello, all you mindful listeners. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us here at Mindful Medicine. I have an incredible guest today, an author of a book called Unstoppable Women Over 50, How to Rekindle Your Passion, Health, and Vitality. I just want to bring her on right now because I'm so excited because this is my jam. I'm the girl over 50 that wants to continue to have passion and health and vitality. So Dr. Donna Perello, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be on your show.
Yeah, so you've got a very, very, first of all, I would say congratulations on the book. Very exciting. But you've got a very prolific past as far as being a doctor of chiropractor and advanced degrees in nutrition and such. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you again for having me on the show. This is incredible. And
of course,
I'm very excited about the book. I've been working on it day and night to get it out as soon as possible. And yeah, I have a pretty diverse background. I started out wanting to be a rock star, actually. I graduated from Berklee College of Music with a degree in composition and arranging. And at that point, I really wanted to do film scoring. And I played around in bands for a while and really couldn't get the record deal. Played with some very famous groups, but just didn't get the record deal.
Sure.
And in the meantime, while I was trying to make a living, I went going to a chiropractor for back and neck pain and headaches, and he turned me on to how important lifestyle was. He did some blood work, and he explained to me about antibody antigens and how that can cause inflammation and how that could be really affecting the reason why I had severe allergies and asthma from the age of 5. And
well, I hate to interrupt you, but I have to tell you, as a former touring musician myself, when you talk about lifestyle, if you are interested in sleep, a good diet, and exercise, being on the road does not support that very much.
No, it doesn't. It seriously doesn't. And it's funny that you mention that because people who know me from when I was younger and in my musician days, they look and they go, oh my God. But people who know me now, they're like, oh, you're a health nut. And I laugh and I say to them, yeah, but I wasn't always. I wasn't educated. I didn't know any better. I would actually have an asthma attack, take a pill, and light a cigarette. I think about that now, but that was my mindset. That was what I knew. And when somebody came along, like the chiropractor who helped me, and started to educate me, and everybody thought I was crazy. What are you doing? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. And why are you taking all these pills? And I thought, well, I did allergy shots and drugs for 17 years. They didn't help me. Thank God for the drugs or I'd be dead. But In less than a year, this man helped me. And I just got on a whirlwind of wanting to know why. And when I decided to go to chiropractic school, my family said, why don't you want to be a real doctor? And I said, well, I went to real doctors for 17 years and they didn't help me. And I went to this man for less than a year and he helped me. And I want to know why. And if I find out that it's, you know, BS, then I will switch. I'll go into something else, medical, osteopath, whatever. But you know, as I started to learn more and more and more, it just makes sense. It just makes so much sense about your lifestyle. And I'm sure you know from your background how important all of it is, your body, your mind.
I mean, it's foundational. And I mean, it sounds like that was a very, very inspiring event in your life. And you know, you say that he helped you, but I think he helped you help yourself. You know, that body having that innate ability to heal itself and to always self-correct, we have to look at the things that are in the way. And I think him bringing your attention to perhaps lifestyle issues that put things in the way, whether it was poor diet, not moving, certainly smoking. Those are kind of quote unquote obstacles to cure. So what an inspiring event in your life. Those things where it's like you would not be where you are without that, you know, particular fateful meeting of this gentleman. So congratulations on that too.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, it's funny how I actually went to him. Is my parents owned a restaurant and I was bartending and I had really bad back pain from standing all day. And I was only in my early 20s and or mid 20s. And one of the waiters threw a crooked pen on the bar. And I said, "What's this?" And he said, "Oh, well, this chiropractor in my town, he's really good. He might help your allergies and asthma." And I looked at him and I went, "Allergies and asthma?" And he said, "Yeah." So I didn't go. And then I went because I was in a rock band. And I went to go get a perm because heart was the thing back then and everybody was getting perms. And there's that crooked pen, the same doctor. And I turned to the woman and I said, do you go to this doctor? And she said, "Oh my God, he saved my life." I said, "What do you mean?"
That's great.
She said, "I was so depressed from menopause." And I looked at her like, "What?" I had no conception of that. I was just so medically traditionally indoctrinated, I had no clue that other things were even available.
So, okay, you mentioned menopause, and your book is about these women thriving over 50. The average age of menopause is 51. So I went through it at 45. I'm 54 now. I've got friends that are 54, 55, 56, 57 that are still menstruating. So, but we're looking at menopause being something that, you know, is introduced in our fifth decade and in our modern day, I think comes with challenges. So why did you decide to write this book?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've gone through in the last 10 years, I'm 65. So in my 50s, I had to start to deal with my parents aging and not being well. And then my mom getting dementia, my dad getting COPD, and then them passing. And you start to think, hey, you know what? I remember my dad saying when his last relative, aunt, died, he said, "You know what that means?" And I went, "What?" And he goes, "Well, we're next." So those words rang and I thought, wow, you know, I'm almost next. And I thought, I want to make the most out of what's the rest of my life, whatever that may be.
Sure.
So I started to reassess what was going on. I am a huge Tony Robbins fan, NLP. I've taken hypnosis courses with Richard Bandler, who happens to be a musician, by the way. And I just really started to say, hey, what do I want to do? And so I started to realize that my values, my beliefs, my goals, my passions, some of them are the same, but a lot of them have changed. So I decided to kind of interview women and to see what the different people, you know, I know my group, I know my patients, I know my friends, but I wanted to get out to people that I didn't know from all over the world. So I joined some Facebook groups and I started to ask questions and a lot of people volunteered to be interviewed. And it was so eye-opening how much we have in common as we go through menopause. There are just so many things that are the same as they were.
Right.
And the other thing that really prompted it is when you reach 50s and 60s, everybody starts to ask you, well, when are you going to retire? And so I mulled over that question very often. And
sure.
I thought, well, what am I going to retire and do? Because I do what I love now. I love to research. I love to write. I love doing podcasts and audios and videos and learning and contributing and helping people. So what would I do differently? I don't know.
Right.
I don't.
So
really,
for the listeners, I mean, you have such a incredible title of your book, Unstoppable Women Over 50, Rekindle Your Passion, Health and Vitality. So for the listeners, talk to me about what you sort of talked about in your book. What did you learn from these over 100 women that you interviewed?
Well, it's interesting. They actually helped me get my title because I kept asking different questions. What's your goal? What's your importance? What is important to you? What do you want to do? What do you want to contribute? And so that's really where the whole gist of my book is about. So what do we talk about? Well, the first thing is we talk about rekindling passion. And passion, of course, could be sexual in nature and have to do with a person. And we discuss that a little bit. We discuss a little bit about libido and intimacy and feeling sexy and some of the things that happen after menopause that aren't exactly fun, like sagging and wrinkles and things like that. And so we discuss some of that. And then we discuss some of the material things that you might want or some of the growth or contribution that you might want. And passion can also be those things, those hobbies. And one of the things I've noticed in practice over 30 years is a lot of my patients, my women patients, that they're going through, their kids are out of the house, and they're trying to reinvent themselves. They're, okay, well, what is my purpose now? Because my kids can kind of take care of themselves. And what is important to me now? And so a lot of times I say to them, well, what did you have when you were younger that you gave up when you became a wife and you had those obligations and you became a mom and you had those obligations and then you had to work and you had those obligations? What was it that lit you up? What is that now that you can probably do or somewhat do that lights you up and is a passion for you? So I think rekindling passion is twofold. I think it has to do with intimacy and relationships, and it also has to do with things that are important to you, that are things as opposed to people. And I think relationships also are very important. I know through the years I've always had an older population. I've always been close, because I was very close with my grandmother, to the elderly population. And so I would always ask them, you know, do you date? Their husbands would pass, and because men usually pass before the women. And I would say, are you interested? And their comment would be, well, you know, I had my husband and I had my kids and I loved them dearly, but I never want to take care of another man again. And I would laugh and I would go, but don't you want the companionship? Yeah, you know, I do, but, you know. So I think we need to change that mindset a little bit for people, because I think relationships are key as you grow older. I think my family and my friends are more important to me than ever at this point.
Sure. You know, I think about it in this way. It's like, you know, you mentioned, obviously after menopause, we see some changes. But also, you know, I've always thought about menopause as being, I kind of wanted to turn it on its head and being such a positive thing, right? So I know that it's gotten pathologized a lot, and there was a lot of different reasons why it became, I mean, there's an ICD-10 code for a normal process of a woman's life. You know, it's like, it kind of is crazy to me that there's a diagnosis code for it, because it's a very natural process if you're lucky enough to live, you know, to get there. And the thing you're talking about, that what lights you up, that passion, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in myself, and then also same thing in seeing patients and such, is that it's a very introverted kind of like call within process. Oh, you know, you've seen the metamorphosis about it, right? So I think as soon as people start to feel a little bit of change, maybe a little bit of, you know, that grieving, they all of a sudden starts like, oh, maybe I need an antidepressant. Oh, something's wrong with me. If we were able to just encourage folks to go through that metamorphosis, I think that change, you know, where you're concentrated, as you said, with your hormones, you know, at your kind of waist level chakra, like being your external locus of control, taking care of folks, taking care of your children, all of a sudden you get to be in your higher brain centers, right? So being able to be more creative, being able to be more intuitive. And I think it's the patience and the process that is so important, that women hang in there and know that this is not the end of anything. It's actually the beginning of many great things.
Oh, you hit the nail right on the head with that. Of course, I think that women need to mastermind and help each other. I mean, I I love your show. I listened to one of your shows, and looked at some of your topics, and it's just wonderful, because women need to know that they're not alone. They're not alone. Mm-hmm. They're not going through this alone, and that it's a normal process, but there are things they need to be aware of. They need to make sure that their health, for number one, is good. So they need to do that. But also, and one of the major things that happens is, besides the sagging and all of that, is the libido. And it's not just the women, it's the men. It's interesting because I'm in a mastermind group with quite a few men. And when I was talking about my book, and they were just like, write it for the men. And I started laughing. But, you know, it's funny because my age group in particular, maybe in the 50s, it's a little more accepted. But my age group, we never talk about what we do in the bedroom or sex, or at least my group of friends. Some of my patients will open up to me a little bit, but it's almost voodoo. You don't talk about it. And yet it's such an important aspect of life. It's just part of who we are as human beings. That's
sure.
Part of our being. And so there is a change in hormones for both men and women when they reach 40s, 50s. But that doesn't mean there aren't ways to balance those things naturally and in other ways if there are issues. So sometimes there are medical issues that need to be addressed that people need to be aware of. So that's another thing I like to want to bring out in the book is, I'm a believer that there needs to be a melding of traditional healthcare and holistic healthcare, because if I didn't have traditional healthcare, I would be dead because I couldn't breathe.
It's interesting that you say traditional, because I've always said that there's value in all systems of medicine. And I believe that. I believe that, and I've lived it. Same. But you say traditional. I say conventional. It's kind of funny because when I think about traditional healing methods, I think about that's what we kind of are coming back to. If we listen to the body, if we understand, that innate healing ability, and that we can facilitate that by removing obstacles to cure, and how important and foundational those things that you mentioned, lifestyle, diet, are to overall health. So it's funny that you say traditional, because I always say that conventional medicine came in, and that's when, hey, if, like you said, you've got to have your inhalers, you would have been dead. I had a cecal volvulus this past summer and certainly needed emergency abdominal surgery, would have been dead. Value in all systems of medicine, but you're right, that blending is important. I want to get to the four main strategies to becoming unstoppable, because you write about four main strategies in your book, and I really want to nail those down for the listeners.
Yeah, so there are four strategies. There actually are a lot more in the book, but I kind of just wrote an article that was published nationally. Number one is sleep. Sleep is so important. One extra hour of sleep at night can boost your libido as much as 14%. I enjoy doing the research because I look at these facts and I go, wow, who would think that? Sleep is important, but 14%, that's huge. That's huge. And yeah. The number one, when I interviewed the women and I asked what their challenges and their goals were, the number one thing was health. And the number one thing, and then I would ask, well, what do you mean by your health? What is important? And they would say, my weight. I need to maintain a healthy weight. And of course, because if you are overweight, that is going to affect a lot of things in your body, your musculoskeletal system, for one, your lungs, your heart, your digestive system, your pancreas, your endocrine system. And as I know you're aware, we're talking about hormones, we're talking about menopause and changes in hormonal balance. That is the key. The key is to get that endocrine system and getting the insulin levels, the hemoglobin A1C, the glucose. These are things that holistically we look at and we say, hey, these are warning signs of more to come. And so that's a really important thing. And a lot of people that are older have no idea where to start. A lot of them, they've never been to a gym. They think that their diet's good. That always is amazing to me. That always cracks me up, how they think that they have a good diet and then they don't even have a vegetable in their diet. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, so sleep, number one, health, definitely number two. And then I mentioned yoga. And yoga for me is something that really, really helps me. And I don't do as often as I should. So I try to practice what I preach, but in doing so, I also find out where some of my weaknesses are. For me, I like to go to the gym. I'm hyped. And not being able to go to the gym right now is driving me bananas. So I'm out walking, I have weights in the house. But there's something about going to a gym and pumping iron and getting on the elliptical and just going as fast as I can that I love. But the opposite of that is the yoga, because that is so difficult for me, number one, just to do a stretch and to do nothing. And obviously, in my opinion, I need that more than anything, because that's more difficult for me.
Sure. So mm-hmm. What you're saying is, folks get older, train your weaknesses, right? So I used to be a CrossFit athlete. I'm a CrossFit coach now because, you know what they say, if you can't do, teach. Those who can't do, teach. And so, but what I thought about CrossFit when people age and when I started to meld it into my practice, I was like, hey, can you be fit across different metrics? Like you said, can you get your cardio in? Can you get your strength training in? But can you have flexibility? Can you have balance? Can you have grip strength? If you fall, can you catch yourself? All of those things as we age are so important.
Yeah, that is a major thing with the elder. Well, I'm calling them the elderly, but I have it in my younger patients too, is their balance. Their sense of balance is so off. And one of the things that I think yoga does is it helps, number one, to isometrically help the muscles to be stronger without really having to lift heavy weights or do anything like that. And it helps with walking and just overall balance, because I always do a test in my office where I have people stand on their right leg, stand on their left leg, and most people can't do it that are over 50.
Yeah, it's so important.
Younger people sometimes can't do it. And that tells me there's an imbalance in their brain, in that right-left brain. There's something else going on. And then I have them do it where they stand on the right and close their eyes. And once they close their eyes, hardly anybody can balance. I once did this test on a ballet dancer that was pretty evolved as a ballet dancer. Couldn't do it. That and in their 20s. Amazing to me. But that just gives us an idea of, okay, there's not a balance in the brain, which, of course, controls everything. But one of the obstacles for older people, though, is they'll say, well, I can't do yoga. And I look at them and I go, well, they have chair yoga, because I used to have it in my office. And there are ways. You know, a lot of the hospitals offer cheap or free classes for the seniors. They do a lot of the bones classes for them. I mean, there's so much available nowadays, and there's YouTube and videos and TV, and there's so much on TV. They just need a proper coach to kind of guide them, because I actually got hurt doing yoga because I got a little overzealous. I try to, that's just my personality.
Right. I can tell you're going to get in there and go. Do you have resources in your book for folks pointing in the right direction as far as hey, who's appropriate, maybe who's not, some of these things that folks can actually tune into, YouTube, et cetera, just to get started and meet themselves where they're at. As you said, you don't want to go to an advanced yoga class, but just getting started and getting moving.
Yes, yes, definitely you need some resources. And if you are you a personal trainer? Are you?
I'm a CrossFit coach.
You said you do the... Okay. So you know that you can't... Somebody can't just go, oh, I'm going to go do CrossFit. That's just not going to happen for... Especially if you're over 50. And if you've never exercised, that's not going to happen. And so I mention very frequently, you need to consult with a healthcare professional or your doctor or someone to guide you. You need someone to guide you. And because... It sounds easy, but it's not. Way back when I got a diplomate in sports injuries and I became a certified trainer, and I've been going to the gym since my 20s. So I know a lot about personal training and fitness, but I certainly don't know everything, that's for sure. There's new every day and new research. So people need to get with the perfect trainer for what their needs are. They need to know what they need, what their goal is, that's the key is number one, to know what is your goal? What is it that you want? And once you know what that is, then you can chunk it down into, well, how do I get there and who can help me? You need the proper people
days,
to help you.
There's all sorts of folks out there that have tips and tricks and online programs and things so you can get started. All right. Well, listen, we're going to wrap up here. But Donna, I appreciate so much your work. Once again, folks, listeners, my lady's over 50. Unstoppable Women Over 50, Rekindle Your Passion, Health, Vitality. You can actually find more information about the book at Unstoppable Women Over 50. And 50 is the number 50, not spelled out, .com. And once again, Dr. Perillo, you can see her at her Facebook group, Habits of Healing. And thank you so much for your time and for your work.
Oh, thank you so much. I also have a community that I just started called Unstoppable Women Over 50. It is a private group, so they had to be vetted before I let them in because it's going to be a safe place.
Great. Well, excellent. So they can find Unstoppable Women Over 50, the Facebook group. Is that correct?
Yes, they can.
All right. Well, listen, mindful listeners, I appreciate you spending your time with us, and we're going to see you next time. Thanks so much.